Conventions.
Oh, okay. I thought you had some intro written or something. Say hi, Nitin. I think this is our trademark now.
Episode number 3. That pilot has really confused the shit out of me. I don't know. When people tell me, I've heard your second episode, I need to go back.
Correct.
Which one did you listen to? Did you listen to the first episode? Yeah.
Have you seen that comic where this computer programmer, is fully in love with a girl, and he's like, if you, really love me, meet me at table 3. And so she shows up at the table number 3, and this fellow has gone to the table number 2 because he starts counting from 0. And like they never meet. And it is like one of those unfulfilled romances. Started from 0, now we here on episode 3.
And this entire joke is a good segue into the topic for today, which is about random conventions.
That is brilliant. But I had something not prepared, but something that I noticed, which you've obviously noticed all your life, is that your name, Nitin, when it is spelled backwards, is also Nitin.
Yeah. Wow. But I never knew this.
But my name, when you spell it backwards, is Y-N-O-T, right? Why not, right? So when I was in engineering college in first year, I think in some Jeffrey Archer or something, I came across a George Bernard Shaw quote, which says something like, some people see things the way they are and say, why? I dream things that never were and say, why not? I'm like, arre, superb. I'll just change this last why not to Y-N-O-T. And I actually had it written on my door, like the physical door to my hostel in the first year. Okay, I've used this to basically sort of distinguish myself across, like get a way into the first line of interviews, which is all important, by just inverting my name, which you can't do.
Oh, you see, I see things as they are and I say no. You see things as they are not, and you. Do you see things as they are? What do you say when you see things?
Let me call Anakin.
If I see things as they are, I would ask why or why not.
Elaine? It's me.
So, Nitin, so what are we talking about? Some things that are there, but should they really be?
Exactly.
Is there a better way to do it? Some of those things, yeah. So tell us, what is your first convention that you're questioning today?
I'm going to start off with a favorite pet peeve. I'm going to start off with neckties. I don't know why they exist.
Oh.
Do you enjoy neckties, Tony?
I don't enjoy them, but I think once you wear them, you look quite smart, no? It's a great way to sort of make yourself look taller if you get a thin tie and, sort of style it well. Yeah, but no, I don't enjoy wearing it because it sort of chokes me here and I'm not very good at being choked. So let's hear it. Why do you hate neckties?
Well,
if it were cricket, then it would result in a neck super over after that. No?
Yeah, see, the obvious reasons, as you mentioned, they're extremely uncomfortable. They choke you. And we, of course, live in India, which is bestowed with wonderful tropical weather, which also makes the tie extremely impractical, right? And broadly that, it's something that is completely, it doesn't serve any purpose. Like you said, yeah, it's debatable. The point that you made that it makes you look good is it's debatable. I will contest that. But even leaving aside...
you're saying there aren't many things that can make me look good. You're not convinced that a necktie would improve all that significantly.
I mean, Donald Trump is always in a necktie. It's arguable whether he looks...
Oh, that's true.
Because he's wearing a necktie. I mean, he looks more ridiculous with the... Typically, a red colored tie is what he wears. A striped red color, also slightly old-fashioned. But for me, the bigger complaint about the tie is that it serves no functional purpose, right? So leaving aside subjectivity on whether it really adds to, the charm or it makes people more pleasing to the eye or not, it's completely pointless. Right? It's not easy to put on. It took me quite a while to learn how to wear a tie. And I'm thankful that I quickly got to a stage in life where I did not have to wear ties anymore. I think I started working in...
So you were basically looking at a tie and asking, why not? Like, why not this time?
Why not Tony? So I went back and wanted to find out what the history of the tie is. How did this random abomination come upon to be, sort of foisted upon us? The necktie apparently came into being in the 17th century, okay? And it traces its history back to Croatian mercenaries. Croatian mercenaries who served in France during the 30 Years' War. Apparently, these Croatians just showed up with some random kerchief-like things tied around their necks. And and the king liked it. The French king liked what he saw, and he made it a part of the uniform. By the way,
Trust the French to like these weird things.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
And neckties, horse meat.
Oh yeah.
Escargot.
Yes.
What is escargot?
Escargot. But is escargot horse meat?
No, escargot is snail meat.
Snail meat. Yeah.
Or just edible snails.
It's just a protest against fast food. It's slow food. So, yeah. Snail. Okay.
For want of a snail, a kingdom was lost. Anyway, yeah.
So, the French king was so powerful. The French monarchy was so powerful back then that because this became something that he liked, it became popular across the region. And slowly, more and more people started tying random shit around their necks. And that's how the necktie Amazing. Came into being. I don't know if you've ever worn a cravat. Have you ever worn a cravat? I've only seen people wearing a cravat and I always wonder, I don't even know where to go and buy that thing. Like, what is that? Right? Yeah. So the word
does a cravat come from Croatia?
Exactly. Cravat comes from Croat. So,
hey, wait. Are you saying your school uniform didn't have a tie?
Thankfully, and no.
It served amazing purposes. Like,
yeah, you could.
After lunch break. You can wipe your mouth with it. If you're sweating, you can really use it as a handkerchief because who is carrying handkerchiefs otherwise?
Correct.
All of these things, they were good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly, you're made of different material. Growing up in Kerala and happy to wear a tie. But me growing up in Chennai, I'm very thankful I do not have to wear a tie. But it is, of course, it's become the, or it was for many years, very much an accepted and important part of formal dressing. Until very recently, I think about in the last 10 years or so, the tie has started meeting its opposition. I think Barack Obama famously showed up at one of those G16 or whatever summits without a tie. And yes, and gradually more and more world leaders started also showing up with him. So there is this famous photo of Obama, Putin, and a bunch of others posing together in suits, the full Monty. And this there's an article, by the way, in the Wall Street Journal called "The Tie is Dead, Long Live the Tie." And this is from 2013. Mm. It has a picture of all these world leaders. None of them is wearing a tie. So, Xi Jinping is also there. So, yeah, hopefully that's the end of that. And
interestingly, on Barack Obama and Mark Zuckerberg, who both dressed very differently, they had this funda of like wearing the same outfit every day, right? It's either a gray suit or a blue suit and nothing beyond. So, as to avoid something called decision fatigue, because he has to make so many important decisions during the day. Wardrobe cannot be one of them, apparently. So, it's probably after he, sort of retired as president that he had more time to think about these things. Ink a Netflix deal and get rid of the tie. Netflix and chill. This is the post-Barack Obama presidential life.
Netflix and chill. Don't get tied down by conventions is the word.
Don't get tied down by conventions. Well done.
There you go.
What about a bow tie? What's the origin of a bow tie? Just styled on, is it?
I just think people thought the normal tie doesn't look ridiculous enough. So they came up with the bow tie. Mm. So that, you could look even more of a joker with I don't know, what do you like a cream puff on your neck. Like, what the hell is that?
Cream puff.
What is you? It looks like a pastry. It's a pastry, basically, right? That's my pet peeve number one. Are these pet peeves? Yeah, these are pet peeves. These are conventions that peeve us. So yeah, there you go. What do you have?
One of the things that we've continued to use is something called the QWERTY keyboard, right? Even though the devices that we've used have changed, the languages that we type in have also changed, but somehow still the QWERTY keyboard remains intact, right? And I think it is just one of those just good enough solutions that never changed, right? I mean, arguably at this point in time, we could just switch out our QWERTY keyboard for anything else of our choice and reconfigure it. But what is your thought? Like, why has the QWERTY keyboard never changed?
I think it's one of those things that unless you can stop time, there is no way to change something like the QWERTY keyboard. Because think about it, right? Ooh. Yeah, because see, at any point in time, Let's say now is a good time as any to switch from the QWERTY keyboard to, let's say, the ABCD keyboard, which is the logical keyboard to have, right? If we were to actually say that now is the time we'll make that switch, and suddenly tomorrow all keyboards, all QWERTY keyboards are going to get destroyed and only ABCD keyboards are going to be available in the market, people like you and me, who have grown up learning to type on the QWERTY keyboard, are going to be up in arms and say, what the hell? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Not now. We need time to get used to this before it gets introduced. And this is always going to be the case. At any stage in time, there are going to be people who are very comfortable and proficient with the QWERTY keyboard that they're going to resist. So there is really no time.
No.
So unless you can stop time. So if there is, let's say, something like, you know, the Thanos snap that happens and population is wiped out and it's going to come back after 5 years, at that time you can keyboard, but otherwise, no.
No, so two distinctions I want to draw here, right? First is actually from the world of blind reading, okay? So we all imagine that Braille was invented and it was universally adopted. Actually, no. So there were like precursors to the system, and especially the moneyed people who were able to run schools for the blind, etc. And they had their own systems. This one was basically, you had your normal lettering, but just, you know, sort of embossed or raised in the sense that a blind person can also touch and feel it. So Boston line type was actually sort of the one that existed much longer than it should have, right? Like, although Braille had invented his system and it was much better and all of that. Obviously, Louis Braille lost his sight and he was sort of, you know, figuring a way out to do this. But this other guy was basically rich and he was like magnanimous and he's like, let me, you know, introduce something for the blind people. And there is a 99% Invisible episode about it. But basically, once, you know, sort of the visually impaired folks had a say, then only Braille was universally implemented, right? And simply put, it's not like the other system could not be read, right? It is that this is much, much better than what you had. Because the other one was a one-to-one, what do you call it? Transposing of what you write in a handwriting as sort of touch and feel embossed for blind people. And Braille was a new, entirely new system that was invented with the, what is it, 3x2 matrix and dots.
It's a completely different language almost, right? What do letters even mean to people who are blind? Because they actually can't see how those letters are written. So
you come up with a completely new convention.
Yeah.
So you were able to do that, right? And I'm guessing it is market driven. The other one is there's this beautiful Radiolab episode called, I think, the Wubi effect, how the Chinese sort of started typing, right? And at this point in time, there is not, I mean, I think there are 100 or 1,000 different ways in which different people who speak Chinese actually type in Chinese, right? And the original sort of cool thing about the Chinese character was that each one was a derivation of, so if it is water, water has a particular sign, then a word for river would include that sign, a word for soup would include that sign and all of that, right? And they had some 70,000 different characters, which meant that it was impossible to put on a typewriter till this guy came up with the Wubi method, which atomized that. But now there are so many different ways to do it, right? Including they've gotten rid of the Chinese character and stuff like that. And at the same time, I don't know, do you type in Tamil or Hindi or anything on the keyboard?
No, I just use Google for that. But
so when I type in Malayalam, right, the way it progressed was first you had to sort of select the characters, which becomes harder in Malayalam because there are so many characters. The next one was a handwriting input where I could just write it as in, like, you know, write on the screen and it would come, which was faster. And now...
Yeah, or you can type in English. So phonetically...
Oh, yeah, type in English was also there. Correct.
It's perfect and it works really well. So I myself have typed in Malayalam, not in Malayalam because I absolutely don't know the language, but I've typed in Tamil just using these simple digital keyboards, which are so cool. If you know what you need to type and to type it phonetically in English, it just converts it into any language you want.
Yeah, you're right. Before handwriting, I used to do phonetic typing. I found handwriting faster, but then suddenly like voice took over, right? Which is like not voice notes, but you just dictate and it translates into Malayalam beautifully. So I mean, it's not like there aren't examples of how conventions have changed over time. It's just that probably QWERTY has existed for a very long time, right?
Yeah, so most people would probably know this already. And it was mentioned in that Radiolab episode as well. But the reason the QWERTY keyboard exists is because back then it was believed that that particular combination of letters created the least amount of interference and clanging of the various different keys in a typewriter. Yeah, that's how QWERTY came about.
No. So there are two. Like one of the myths was that if you, like, there were more efficient ways of doing it, but if you type very fast, the keys would interlock, which I believe is a myth. And I think it was on that Radiolab where they told the real reason was that these systems were usually back in the day sold by traveling salesmen, right? So what they did was took this typewriter clunky thing and showed it there. And obviously, as at that point in time, you had specific people who would type, right? But the salesman had to demonstrate it. And this particular arrangement made it such that you could type out the word typewriter using just the keys on the first row, right? So they just wanted to show how it works. So this guy could just do typewriter just looking at the first row and do it. I don't know, there are many sort of origin myths, but that seemed like a more interesting one than the other one. I believe is has been fact checked and like proven
It's
not to be
not
true or something.
the most efficient, definitely, but it was believed to be more
Okay.
efficient than ABCD, let's say, or
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. So it obviously wasn't the most scientific way to come about with a solution, but they came about with a solution. And the fact that we are all now so very proficient with what the suboptimal arrangement of keys is just proves that, you know, you can
Yeah.
actually learn anything if you set your mind to it, right? And
Absolutely. Yeah. I get very annoyed with, I used to get very annoyed with basic things. Like whenever I see a queue somewhere, it annoyed the hell out of me, right?
Why?
Because it's a sign of inefficiency, right? Like there shouldn't be a queue anywhere at any point in time.
Wow.
And are you one of those guys who
Thought.
sticks to the same queue, or do you, if there are 10 queues, do you switch to the, you
I am
always
the
switch?
I am that person who even when I'm driving on the road, right, I'm always trying to
Yeah.
get to the lane which I think is,
Exactly.
and I'm
Yeah.
the guy who
That's.
and I'll go to that other lane, and then the other lane starts, the one that I left, you know, suddenly picks up pace, and
Yeah.
then I'm like cursing and swearing, and
Yeah.
then I get stuck at a signal because I've moved to the wrong lane, and my poor son has to listen to me
Correct.
cribbing for the
Correct.
next 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's me.
This is actually where I was getting towards, that we are probably great drivers for ourselves, but bad drivers on the road, at least in India, because wherever there is a gap to be exploited, I am taking that spot, right? So
Absolutely.
if you are getting outside, if you're leaving your house and you have to summon the lift, in what order do you do it? Like, so basically my thing is that you should always call the lift first, then lock up the door, because the lift takes longer to come, right? And it is an efficiency game where you have to spend the least amount of time waiting. And people are like, what is wrong with you? Like, why are you
Oh,
doing these things, right? So
you're
yeah, just
absolutely on
like
the right track, except I've perfected it.
yeah.
I mean, I've literally created a human being to do this for me, right? So my son, typically, as I'm picking up my wallet and my phone and my sunglasses and my floaters, I'll be like, go out and press the lift door. Go out and press the lift button and wait for me there. So yeah,
Oh
absolutely.
my
I think
God.
what you're doing is absolutely
Yeah.
correct.
No, so the whole point is I think we tend to look at life as an efficiency game, right? Which annoys a lot of people around us, but I wouldn't have it any other way. So I think, I mean, not that I've switched from QWERTY, but I think it's just one of those things that could improve, but it's just a good enough thing at this point in time, right? Yeah. Okay, moving on to your next. That's okay.
Oh, I thought
Just go for it.
the fact that we spoke about driving on the roads and lane discipline was a great segue, because the
Great
next
segue.
convention I'm going to talk about is the variations that we have in driving conventions in various
Oh,
countries.
yeah.
Left-hand drive
Crazy.
versus right-hand drive. In India, of course, the driver sits on the right side and the vehicles keep to the left. So it's called
It's called
LHD.
LSD, is it?
It's called LHD.
Okay. Thank God. Yeah.
LHT is left-hand traffic,
Left-hand.
which is what we have
Yeah.
in India. In left-hand traffic, the driver sits on the right. The traffic keeps to the left side of the road, right? Have you driven in the opposite? Have you ever done a RHT drive?
Oh, no. No. So I've only driven in countries. I've driven in Australia, Ireland, etc. And it's always been
Oh,
like same only, no?
is this like a
So that
policy you have
issue.
in life that you'll only go to countries that have left-hand?
No, just turned out that way. Yeah. No, have you?
Oh yeah, I currently live in the United Arab Emirates in Dubai, right? So it is RHT here. The very first time, you know, I had to switch, it was not easy. I'll be upfront about it, right? You're
Oh, really? Okay.
absolutely not, because A, you're in India, your left hand is used to changing the gears, right? Now suddenly your left hand is not the one
Oh,
that's going to change gears, right? It's your right hand.
right.
And there is this whole headlight and wiper confusion as well. Your wipers,
Oh, yeah. No, but that happens
turning
even
the
in Indian
wipers on.
cars.
What happens in Indian cars? Oh, they switch. That's because it's
So,
American
like,
cars. That's because American cars come to India and they don't actually
correct.
change it, right? So your Ford, for instance, would have the turning lights on the left,
Yeah.
whereas
No, I
all
think
the other,
even the German ones, right? Volkswagen, Škoda,
maybe,
all of these have
probably,
the reverse. Anyway,
yeah, they're too
yeah.
lazy to do it. Except whereas companies like Hyundai, for instance, customize their cars
Correct.
much better for the market that
Correct.
they're serving. But the number of times I had to take driving lessons in Dubai before I could get my license, and the number of times I would put on the wipers instead of putting on the turning lights, And I, one of my biggest nightmares.
Famously, United Arab Emirates, a place where you need the wipers quite often.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, right? And that dry glass.
It's raining all the time. Yeah.
Because, and imagine putting those wipers on those dry surface, the glass, man, with the big
screen. I hate that sound. When the rubber hits the glass, that's a pet peeve.
Yeah, and these driving instructors and these people who are supposed to give you the license are very strict over here. Like, what if they fail you because you put on the wiper out of turn? Yeah, like, why do we have different driving conventions in different parts of the world? I mean, there is an answer to this also, which is not very clear.
What's the answer?
It's not very clear. So, funnily, it goes back to how horse-drawn carriages used to be used in certain countries. That's one of the reasons that people give. Like, typically, a person riding a horse-drawn carriage uses his right hand to whip the horse. So, he sits slightly to the left of where the horses are, right? That's one story. Mm. But then that wouldn't explain why it is in different ways in different countries, right? That would be a great explanation to why it is in one particular way. It is not an answer for why it is in two different... So the answers are not clear.
Statistically, you would assume that everything is evenly distributed in the world, right? But the one thing that is not evenly distributed is left-handedness.
Exactly.
Right? So left-handers are only about 10% of the population worldwide, which is a very, very strange stat, right? So,
Sorry to meander away, but I thought that has something to do with the way the brain is wired, right? And most people...
Oh, is it? Really?
Thought so, yeah. Though I'm also sure there is some amount of convention also that plays into it. It's probably 70-30 and not 90-10. Mm. But because... we believe that, you know, right-handedness is the right way to be. I'm sure some born left-handers are coaxed into becoming right-handers. And hence, instead of 70-30, you have it as 90-10.
Yeah.
But I don't
think... words for left were all the bad words. The words for left were all the bad words, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Sinister means left. Gosh means left. And the words for right were all the good ones. Dexter, dexterous, and... Right.
Another story that I read was in... it had to do with the way soldiers walked. So, you have your scabbard with the sword or whatever, fencing, whatever weapon that on the left side. Yeah. And you would use your right hand to take it out. So, you didn't want, these to clang into each other. And so, there's a certain order in which people would always stick to one side of the road so that they're not accidentally... stabbing someone else who's walking and not following the convention. None of this explains.
No,
why...
so I was wondering where I had heard this because this was in my research for one of my reels, which sort of spoke to the fact that for men, the buttons on the shirt are on the right hand side. For all women's shirts, the buttons are on the left hand side. Somebody else used to dress, or the sword thing was also another thing that was mentioned and all of that. So yeah, interesting.
Yeah,
I do love driving in India.
Same here.
Because it's a sport, right?
It's a sport. Yeah, it gets your competitive juices flowing. Absolutely.
Doesn't this shirt thing annoy you? Like, it's shirt on thing. One side for men and one side for the buttons of the shirts for men. It's on right, for women it's on left. It continues to be that way.
No, I don't think so. It doesn't.
Yes.
Oh,
pick up a shirt and see.
I'll check. I didn't realize it continues to be that way. That makes absolutely no sense. But yeah, exactly. I mean, we should, in fact, there's a separate episode we should do on women's clothing. I mean, this sounds shady, but the fact that women's pants don't have pockets is like ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, what is that? To conform to a certain view of how men want to see women, they don't want women to have, jangly stuff in their pockets, I guess, because they want to appreciate natural curves. I don't know how much of this will make the final edit. But
why there is no such thing as sexy men's underwear.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We shall not linger on this point for too long. But again.
So, by the way, there are about 165 countries that do right-hand drive, and about 75 or 80 countries that use left-hand, including Britain and a lot of Britain's colonies, including India, right? So, in all of Europe, Britain's...
That's just 2:1.
It's 2:1. I mean, I don't think there's any logical reason as to why it's 2:1. The countries that have switched to right hand from left hand have done it for commercial or economical reasons, because they don't make their own cars, and the closest countries that they import cars from have, the other orientation, so to speak.
Makes sense. Yeah.
In all of
Europe, switching cost is essentially the same thing.
Yeah. The switching cost was lower.
Quality continues to be a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Here, switching cost is lower than running cost, so they actually switched to a different. Convention. Have you, by the way, ever got into a taxi and sat in the driver's seat? I've done that. It's very embarrassing.
What do you mean? Accidentally.
Accident.
Yeah, no, I haven't. But isn't he there?
Yeah.
Isn't the driver there?
No, the driver is helping me with the luggage. So, and then I'm like, yeah, okay, thank you. He's shutting the boot. I get into his car. I sit down and he's like, sir, I will drive, sir. Okay. If you insist. But
if
I'm
you
fast
must,
enough.
Yeah.
If you must.
No, but this is still less annoying than the US not switching out from the imperial system, for instance, right? To metric. Check out the big brains on bread. Royale with cheese.
No,
back then it made sense because there was no standardized measurement. So if you are to say that this person weighs 8 stone or whatever, yeah, probably yeah. can imagine
there were some stones
standard
that,
stone and then do it. Yeah.
Like a furlong comes from furlough long. It's a plowing term from agriculture.
Yeah.
So
I mean, yeah, no, all of these, of yeah. course, yeah, but
so I can understand at least there that
it should continue to exist.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think beyond a point it's just ego. Right? Why should I switch to your system? You switch to my system instead, and it's a standoff yeah. from both sides. Because here, yeah. the switching costs are actually not high. It's measurements can definitely be standardized, right? And so I'm going to show you a picture, and I'm going to ask you what you think it means.
Oh, is this a Rorschach test?
No. Okay.
Yeah.
I able to see this.
Whoa.
This is a road
sign.
Oh,
it's a road sign. Okay.
Yeah. Can you tell me what
it is? This? Unfortunately, I saw the URL on top. This is like, I'm guessing, what you see in Majestic bus stand in Bangalore, no? Where actually, if you come out of Majestic, suddenly it turns into a right side drive, right?
Like, not Majestic.
The lane switch.
Not Majestic. I'll come to that. But yeah, this is exactly the point where this, you actually see this on the, I think Thailand and Laos, I think, share a border. And these two countries have...
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. And so you typically see these signs sometimes in country borders when you're switching from LHT to RHT. I can't even imagine the confusion that would reign in these places. But somehow it works. And apparently there are no accidents also to actually make these switches. So...
Amaze.
The Bangalore...
But then you don't change cars, no? You don't change cars.
You don't change cars. So you continue to sit...
Similar to Bangalore.
Yeah, you continue to sit on the wrong side of the road or the wrong side of the car, but you suddenly are, everything changes. That, by the way, is extremely freaky.
Beautiful.
Waste,
no, right? but you were saying not Majestic, but where is it in Bangalore?
This is right in the center of Bangalore. This is close, by the way, to the place where I used to live for about, 12 years on Richmond Road. So there is this famous mall called Garuda Mall in the middle of Bangalore.
Mm.
And there's a very small stretch of maybe 300 meters from Garuda Mall to this other junction where there is a, I don't know what it's called. There's basically a Reliance Jio Mart or something. That's a Reliance Mall, one of those shopping malls, right? For want of a better landmark, I'll go with that. This 300 meter stretch, right, is suddenly like you're in America because out of the blue, you're in a right-hand drive road. It's two-way.
Is it because Rajinikanth walked through there?
These are actually the areas where Rajinikanth would have been a bus conductor many years back. So,
lovely. Yeah.
So, but, and by the way, this road sign that I just showed you does not exist over there. The very first time, thankfully, I wasn't driving the first time I was on that road. I was being driven or in an auto or something, but I freaked out the first time because suddenly this auto was going on the wrong side and everyone was going on the wrong side across both sides of the road. Now, here comes an interesting clincher. Can you guess what the name of this road is? I'll give you a clue. When I went into this road, I felt like I was in the corridor of uncertainty.
Offside road, what?
It's called Magrath Road. You can't make this shit up, can you?
Amazing.
Yeah, if you're not careful, you can nick off outside Austin.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, see, I was right, by the way. This happens in Majestic also.
Oh, really? Okay.
In Bangalore, for example, between Seshadripuram and Majestic bus stand, to enable the city buses to enter and exit easily, normal traffic moves on the right-hand side.
Ah, okay.
Similarly, the traffic flows on the right-hand side on Commissariat Road to ease the traffic entering Garuda Mall. Hey, you cheated.
But Google Maps calls this Magrath Road. Though you are right, it is actually Commissariat Road because Magrath Road is perpendicular to it. I'll just show you. Again, I'm going to do a screen share. Can you see the screen?
Yeah, amazing. Oh, Magrath Road.
I have to call out that I was wrong and you are right. It is Commissariat Road and not Magrath Road because this is Magrath Road. This is the road that has the quirk.
But it's still the corridor of uncertainty starts at Magrath Road. That's
and famously, the corridor of uncertainty term was made famous by Damien Fleming, who is Magrath's teammate, who used to be next to Magrath all the time. So this actually fits in, right? So they're just saying this because this is next to Magrath.
Lovely.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so sticking with India, my next sort of challenge about convention, and this really annoys me, is the fact that you know how basically English media, whether it is in Britain or US, usually uses the surname of the person, right? But in our generation and the previous generation, we usually have what are called patronymic surnames. Is that the correct word? Basically, your surname is your dad's name.
Ravichandra
like,
Mashwin.
Sebastian, my dad's name is Sebastian.
Yeah.
And Nitin Sundar, your dad is Sundar, right?
Yes.
It's not like... So, I mean, calling me Sebastian or calling you Sundar is wrong, fundamentally, right? And but if the paper is reporting a story about us, it will call you Mr. Sundar and me Mr. Sebastian.
Yes.
This gets much worse when it is a woman, right? And for some reason, they also have, you know, either father's name or husband's name. Let's not go there. But as a newspaper, why are you calling someone like Ranjini Haridas, Miss Haridas?
Yeah.
Right? When you know Haridas is a dad.
Correct.
Call her Miss Ranjini, you know, like who's getting offended? Like, what is wrong with using the first name? This is a very, very annoying thing.
It is very annoying. I completely agree. And this whole thing gets doubly confusing if you're from Tamil Nadu, because there you famously have this concept of initials.
Like Krish Ashok.
Like Krish Ashok, like Ravichandran Ashwin, going to our famous
right.
news from another podcast. So Ashwin is Ashwin, right? That's his name. His father's name is Ravichandran.
Correct.
But, and so his name is...
Ashok is Ashok Krish. Is
Ashok, yeah, Ashok Krish. And similarly, Ashwin Ravichandran is his name. But because every scorecard randomly initializes and has the supposed family name or the patronymic surname, as you say,
correct,
as the name. So Tendulkar is actually Sachin Tendulkar, right? Though everybody calls him Tendulkar when they're referring to him, except in first person terms. So because, so Ashwin should have technically been A. Ravichandran by that logic. But I guess, but the way it is done in Tamil Nadu is... You know, you initial your name with your father's name. So, and hence R is the initial and Ashwin. So it's just very, very confusing.
If you're a like reputable media house, it's not hard to change your editorial standard to say this is what makes sense in the geography we are reporting in, right? Like, who is going to take offense if you're called by your first name, man? Come on. Like, it's more accurate than calling me by my dad's name, please.
But,
maybe in certain instances, like a Tendulkar or a Rohit Sharma may not mind being called Mr. Tendulkar or Mr. Sharma, but it's your responsibility to find out and adopt a appropriate editorial standard, right? Like, don't use the same brush across the board.
My sympathies lie with the editorial stances that publications, which are really derivative agencies, right? So you can't really blame them.
Why I'm annoyed is because that you've not changed the source. It's been given to you, but like, why is it there?
Why do you
it
stick
is
with
in
it?
A time and place.
In that sense, on that note, great to call out that Cricinfo, especially, has taken a stance about doing away with names like batsman. And batsman has completely gone out of Cricinfo in the last few months,
correct,
right? They only use batter.
What is third man, though? What is third man?
Third person. I don't know what it is called in third person. I don't know. You mentioned Tendulkar or Rohit Sharma would be okay being referred to as Sharma or Tendulkar. But come on, there are like thousands of Sharmas, but there's only one Rohit Sharma who plays cricket.
Yeah, it's not like it's a minuscule population where you need to apply this funda to, right? It's like across, like, use your imagination, use logic and like change things, no? That is the whole point. That's what why we are railing against conventions. Yeah.
Fully agree. Yeah, I think this needs to change. Absolutely.
Okay, Mr. Sundar, let's move on.
Okay.
Next point.
So, we're now coming to one of my all-time favorites, which is daylight saving. We are currently in daylight saving. on 10th of March, the clocks, I think in the US, actually moved by 1 hour, or was it half
spring
an hour?
Spring forward.
Spring forward, yeah. Daylight saving. The whole concept of time, you know, the reason time exists itself is because it gives a sense of predictability and constancy to how the world functions, right? You know, when you say at a certain time something's going to happen, that it will happen, right? The whole point of having clocks is that you shouldn't have to change the time on those clocks if they're running fine.
Agreed.
But we have daylight saving. And you know why daylight saving exists, by the way, how it came into...
Yeah, I want to ask you that.
Yeah, so before we even get to daylight saving, first we should go to the very concept of time itself, right? this is interesting. Again, like I said, yet again,
Father time.
Yet again, there is a Radiolab episode.
It can't be father time, no? What would ESPN Cricinfo call it? Parent time.
is time a male centric term or not? Yeah, parent time is
it's
a good
in father time. No, father time is
So, by the way, until 1850, you did not have the concept of fixed time at all. Like, if you went to a city,
what does that mean?
Yeah, and there is a wonderful Radiolab episode. It's called Time. You should listen to it. All the listeners and watchers should listen to it. They talk about this. So, if you went to a certain city, there would be as many times as there are clocks in that city. So if I have a clock, I will set whatever I feel the time is. Broadly,
it is my standard time.
It is my standard time. The standard used to be that noon is when the sun is exactly above your head. Now, depending on where you are, even within a city, the sun could be over your head at a slightly different time, right? So you go into the barber shop, he would have a different time. You go into the grocery, that would have a different time and so on. The reason time became standardized, by the way, was because of the advent of railways. Because now people had to be at the railway station at a certain time. And they had to know what time that was, right? You can't say, I'll be there at 3 p.m. But, you know, at the ironmonger, the clock says it's 2:30 p.m. I go to the railway station and find that it's already 3:30 because they have a different clock. So everyone had to standardize to the railway time. And the clock at the railway station became the standard for that city. And even time zones, by the way, came into existence only around 1850. Now, daylight saving as a concept came into prevalence during the war.
The Great War, is it? Which war?
Whatever war was happening in 1918. World War One. So, it was to
the Great War. We used to call it the Great War.
Really? I have seen better. Battle of Plassey. Best war ever. Now,
I've seen better.
The aim, by the way, they came up with daylight saving in 1918 to help conserve fuel and power during the World War. By shifting the time to get more daylight hours, it would reduce the need for lighting because people are like bloody idiots, right? The moment it turns 6 p.m., they turn on the lights, whether it's light or dark or not. They didn't, and since this was happening, they said, you know what? It's not 6 p.m., it's only 5 p.m., so don't switch on the lights. This is literally what happened.
They basically saying you wake up 1 hour early and sleep 1 hour early so that you don't waste that 1 hour of lighting time. It's not like just because it's 6 p.m.
So all you need to tell them is, Macha, it is winter time. The sun is going to rise late and set early. So accordingly, change your sleeping hours. No. We will change the clock itself for you.
I'm not defending it. By the way, did you know at this time, there was another fun thing, which I think England, Ireland, all of these guys had, which is called a window tax. So if you had more than 10 windows in your house, every window you had to pay a tax for. This was because like income tax didn't exist and they had to like find ways to say you're rich. But basically you will see like windows, but boarded up and closed because you don't want to pay the window tax. So
human beings are just amazing. Though the logic of taxing windows is pretty smart if you think about it, because the bigger a house is, the more windows it will have, right? But there is always a loophole in this case, the absence of a loophole. You just shut it on the loophole.
When God opens a door, he shuts a window.
So now there is, of course, a move. This was actually passed in the US Senate in 2022 to try and do away with this nonsense of daylight savings and move back to a standardized clock, because they figured that, hey, human beings are actually logical. You know what? They can see the sun and decide when they want to sleep and wake up. Unfortunately,
electricity is not a scarce commodity anymore.
Also, basically,
you can have as much as you want.
Yeah,
and renewable before like people jump up to cancel us, like, please. All electricity will be renewable, and climate change will go away on its own. Sorry.
Yeah, you heard it here first, guys. So this this bill was passed by the Senate, but it has not yet received a vote in the House of Representatives. So hopefully, we live in hope. But you know what this act is called? This act is called the Sunshine Protection Act, which I just found funny. Like, they've come up with the Sunshine Protection after having decided they don't have to save daylight anymore. But it drives me mad because, especially people who live in the US, right? And the US has, what, 6 time zones. Russia, by the way, has 11 time zones. So it's obviously a very longitudinal country.
Yeah.
Right?
No, correct.
When people in the US are giving you, trying to set up a meeting with you, they come up with these silly abbreviations, right? CT,
EST, ET. PST,
I don't give a fuck, man. Give me a time zone that I can understand, right? Like, who are you? What are you? Are you on daylight saving? Like, I need to now go and do all the math.
Convert everything to IST,
Or at least to GMT. I think GMT is perfect, right? You come up with one time that everyone understands. At least you can set your Google calendars without having to jump through hoops, but
absolutely. No, but I think it's a function of accident that India had only one time zone. Not accident. I think like at that point in time, our founders of our nation thought that it'd be too complicated. Thank God for that. Yeah. But here's the other thing, right? Like one of our more progressive politicians, Mr. Shashi Tharoor, who has been like campaigning for things like, you know, laws in IT. And
dictionaries for everyone.
Gambling regulation. Yeah. Dictionaries for everyone, gambling regulation.
He actually was going for dictionaries for everyone. I was just pulling his leg.
No.
You're also like, yes.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, yes and no, but like gambling regulation, etc., which are good things, so that then the industry can exist without having to worry about things, right? His other pet peeve is that he has actually been railing for multiple time zones for India. And I'm like, why, dude? Like, why are you doing this? And his claim is that people in Assam wake up much earlier anyway because like sun, they don't get too much sunlight because of the time zone and all of that. But I think it's a beautiful thing to have just one time zone, right? I feel like it's a non-thing thing.
It's a non-thing thing. Yeah, very, very well put. Yeah, agreed. We should, this should get abolished. Unless you're Christopher Nolan, in which case, yeah, you can stop time, change the clock.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen those cringe LinkedIn posts?
If we stop time, we can also change QWERTY according to you, right? So
yes. Oh, everything is coming together. And Nolan just won the Oscar and we should be given the Nobel Prize for the best podcasting award. No, we should actually win the best creator award from Narendra Modi, which a bunch of people won. Beer biceps, yeah. And Ayo Shraddha and others. No, what was I saying? I've lost my train of thought.
That's
okay. Yeah, no,
it's come to grind at a station, but thankfully the station has uniform time now.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So you're saying this is something that will go away in the near future and we'll never ever have to hear about it again.
Yeah, we live in hope. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. The what final one that I had around conventions was around social etiquette, right? For instance, what can get you thrown out of Starbucks? I feel like you can just go there and I've seen like people sit there for the entire day without obviously paying for anything, paying for coffee, like their laptop, everything out. Spend one full day and they never throw you out, man. Like, so logically, what can get you thrown out of Starbucks was the question that I had as a thought experiment. So you haven't watched Impractical Jokers, unfortunately, but there used to be like when we were back in a couple of offices ago, like 5-6 years ago, when the light was still there in my eyes, we used to do this thing in the pantry where or the lift, where how many people can you nose without them realizing it. Nose is basically you touch your nose on their shoulder without them realizing or without them calling you out, like random. Why are you looking at me like this, dude? You have to pass a working day with some entertainment, right? And like you had a count of how many people you nose during the day without being caught and stuff like that. But
this is a HR violation in multiple ways. Good that Toppy Chopper Nose is not on this podcast.
Yeah. No, but here's the thing, right? Like, would people even call you out for something unless the situation demands it? And therefore, if you're a Starbucks customer, when do you get thrown out? I don't know. Or conversely, what is appropriate Starbucks etiquette? Like, are you allowed to spend one full day there without buying anything?
Well, if they're not asking you to leave, then why not?
Yeah.
It really depends on what you're doing there, though. I think if you're just if you're sitting there and working, I guess they'll probably let you do that because you're probably adding to the ambience of the place. You're making it look like a place where...
Wow.
So you become a part of the branding, right? So then it's okay.
Interesting.
But yeah. If you're sitting there and leching at other people and, I don't know, composing a rap or
nosing
something.
Nosing them.
Then you'd get kicked out. Yes, exactly.
Recording a podcast. Yeah.
Sir, this is not your office pantry. Please don't nose around. This is Starbucks coffee, not office coffee. you can sit here if you're brown nosing, but otherwise, please get out. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and some of these conventions change over a period of time, right? And I think there's a lot of cultural difference to this. Which is like, I still remember the first time I was watching Breaking Bad with my wife. There is a scene in which Walter, they're at the breakfast table, as usual. What's the son's name? He's always eating breakfast.
Junior.
This is one of the Breaking Bad memes, right?
Walter Junior.
But anyway, so Walter White has a glass of orange juice, which he doesn't finish. And then Rosanna organically is like, hey, finish your orange juice. Like, how can you leave without finishing your orange juice? But... again, like growing up, I would never leave behind a drink or something that I didn't, even if I didn't enjoy it, I had to finish it because I paid for it. But now I leave it. Like if two sips and I don't like it, I just leave it on the table. Right? So I think it's a
posh
function of how, not posh. I mean, what like sunk cost fallacy has been discovered. Right? Like,
I cannot leave behind a beer that I've paid for or not paid for. I can't
beer,
leave.
Beer, I will, yeah, come on.
No, even if I'm like,
beer is different.
Like, even if I'm drunk, sick, I can't leave behind beer. Or meat for that matter. I will never leave behind meat. If it's it can be meat.
That's
or
a choice. No.
No, I'm saying I'd be really full, but
yeah,
I'd still,
but you'll
stuff my face.
Yeah.
Or I'd take a doggy bag. But with beer, you can't take a doggy bag. So I'll just guzzle it down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Things
yeah.
never change. One last thought before closing this, or rather one other pet peeve in this whole standardization problem across countries, right? Is electric plugs. Why do we have different types of
pins? Yeah.
countries, right? Again,
Absolutely.
there's absolutely no logic to why it is the way it is.
Correct.
But the way it happened was these electrical systems, right, grids were built independently in different countries. So the engineers came together, built their grids differently, created different sort of standards. So at least this is a little bit understandable, unlike your driving convention, etc. Right? That it would, because the switching cost is really high now. If for any country to switch from 3-pin to 2-pin or 110 to 220,
and it's not needed either. You have adapters for this.
You now have adapters for this, so it's okay. So the US grid was set up at 110 volts. And the reason for that was back in the time when Edison and Tesla, not this Tesla, that Tesla was around, electricity was that was largely being used to light up lights. It's just that those lights happen to work best at about 110 volts. And so 110 volts became the standard. The European grid was set up much after the American grid. And they have set it up at 220 or 230 volts and not at 110. The reason for this was a cost perspective, because you need copper to transmit electricity. If your voltage is at 110, you need a lot more copper to transmit the same electricity to people than if you are at 210 or 220 volts. So it was a very cost-based sort of choice that was made. What irks me though, because these are not really modern phenomena, right? This happened at a time when the world was not connected. But we continue to have this problem of chargers, for instance, being of different types,
which,
or peripheral cables.
Which is already sort of
getting solved
USB-C.
Now.
USB-C.
Yeah, USB-C is going to become a standard. And I think all the electrical companies, and now the other Tesla comes into picture, all the EV companies are going to adopt the Tesla standard, because they have set up a great standard. And they've set up a lot of charging infrastructure that is available across the US at least. And other EV companies want to ride on that now. So they're like, okay, we'll just adopt the Tesla charging standard. But the joke on
no,
this...
No chagrin in adopting charging standards.
One joke to finish off this one. You might have heard of this one. We all remember USB, right? We don't use too much of USB anymore, thanks to micro USB and Type-C. The inventor of the USB stick has died. At his funeral, they gently lowered the coffin. Then they pulled it back up, turned it the other way, and they lowered it again.
No, you had to do it three times. The first way was correct.
You tried two times and then the third time. Nothing more irritating than that. Trying to get that USB thing in. Yeah. Did you have a USB stick of your own?
What do you mean? Like a memory card?
Like like a thumb drive. Thumb drive.
Okay. As for a minute, I was not sure what you're asking. Do you have a USB stick of your own?
Did you have?
Yeah, I do. And I stick it in many places.
Do you touch people's nose with them?
With your USB stick. Come on. We live in a society, please. To end with George Costanza.
As we begin. Yeah.
You know, we're living in a society. We're supposed to act in a civilized way.
I will find the relevant clips and add them.
Cool. So this has been yet another episode of Leftover Lasagna.
Yes.
Either the third or the fourth, depending on how you count.
Depending on whether you use the metric system or the imperial system of counting.
Yeah, absolutely. We break conventions, so like no one knows what the episode count is.
We break conventions, so you can now watch this episode on Spotify or listen to it without visuals.
Oh, lovely.
YouTube, depending on...
On YouTube music. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
And this will be the first comedy podcast that gets promoted on LinkedIn with a very non-ironical post coming your way soon. We will add that also in the show notes to complete the full circle.
Yeah, no, but we should again reiterate. Please tell your friends. Actually, no, tell your enemies so that they can waste some time.
They can tell their friends.
Or they can tell their enemies. Your friends.
That way our friends will know about it. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.